Well, the Cubans came yesterday. Yep, the Cubans came, both of them. Oh, it was about 10 o'clock in the morning, I guess, yesterday. The Cubans came, the guys who knocked the coconuts off of our palm trees in the front yard every couple months or so. I don't know how often it is. The Cubans come. The Cubans are coming. The Cubans are coming. One guy has a long pole, and he pokes the coconuts, and the other guy has an old sofa cushion, and he breaks the fall of the coconut, lest it be bruised when it hits the ground. And I filmed it. I had my camera out the window for you. And so my sister Kelly is going to put that video underneath here. Check that out. Check out the Cubans working as a team. The 1-2 punch. One man knocks them down. The other guy breaks their fall. They're supposed to leave us 3 or 4 coconuts. Because we don't pay them for this service. It is a service. Because if a coconut were to fall on your head, you know, it's quite dangerous. And so they do this as a favor to us. So we generally ask them for 4 or 5 coconuts opened. They take the machete, open the top of them. Then we pour them directly into a pitcher. We get about 1/2 gallon of coconut water and we put it in the fridge. It lasts about 10 minutes. Yeah, but Juliana's still not here. I'm still taking care of the house. And I thought that there was an agreement. So I looked. After the Cubans left, I looked to find the coconuts maybe sitting, 4 or 5 coconuts sitting. No, the Cubans took me for a putz, and they left. They made their getaway without leaving any coconuts. Hi, everyone. This is Martin Zender, a remarkable event filmed for you. And then a little later, like an hour later, in the backyard, there were these stork-like birds. And you see birds with long legs. Really long legs, some of them walking around here. And but I saw two of them alight on the telephone wire or the cable, whatever, some kind of cable behind the house. So I filmed them for you. I want you to see the life here. So the Cubans out the front window and out the back, those crazy birds. And then I thought, and then later yet yesterday, this is how it is in South Florida in the summer, a big storm came up. I was in the parking lot of the gym, so I took some brief footage of the storm for you. And I actually hoped to get, I wanted to get struck by lightning. Honestly, I honestly did. I wanted to get struck by lightning. So I stood out in the parking lot for a while as things were swirling around. There was a little brief flash of lightning that you see in the footage down there. I was not struck by lightning, so that's that. Here I am again today. And let's see. And then I thought, well, I want to show you. There's an iguana that lives here or hangs out here in our backyard. He's like this. It's really long. He's lime green, like green jello. And he's got a black striped tail. It's really fantastic. But this is not the iguana I'm showing you in a fourth video underneath here. This is the iguana I took him like a couple months ago. It was 2 streets over from here where Juliana's sister Hilda lives. I filmed this iguana lumbering down the road. So enjoy that video. That's why I'm here. I'm here for the life. Now, I said something wrong, believe it or not. I think yesterday I was talking about the 4 watches of the night. Psalm 90 verse 4, we hear that 1,000 years to the Lord is as a day, or as a watch in the night. And there are 4 watches to the night. So I made the mistake of saying, well, it's 4 days since Christ. From Christ until, let me slow down. From Adam until Christ. From Adam till Christ, there was 4,000 years. So that's 4 days by the Psalm 90 verse 4 formula or pattern. Model. And the interesting thing about Psalm 94 again is that it says that 1,000 years is as a day or a watch in the night. Why did it say a watch in the night? Wasn't it enough to say 1,000 years is as a day? No, you have to add a watch in the night. All right, well, there are 4 watches to to the night. And as evidence, I give you the passage where Jesus comes to the disciples in the fourth watch of the night, which was early in the morning. And I made a mistake of saying that that was 4 days. But if it's four watches, so four watches equals one night. The significance of this is from the time of Adam, the first Adam, the guy who got us into this mess, which is a necessary mess, had to happen. Plan A. Four watches of the night later, i.e. 4,000 years, that is one night, four watches equals one night, Christ comes and it's a dawn. See, the night comes, then the day. It is so great. So when Adam sinned and was expelled from the garden, a giant night started for 4,000 years. I'm going to show you a chart from that webpage I gave you, that BKI.net. And so, four watches of the night later, Jesus Christ comes. Exactly 4,000 years from Adam, F.A., Jesus Christ comes. Again, big events happen at round numbers. 3,000 years, the temple. The flood was 1656. I don't like that. I wish the flood had been at a nice round number. But hey, if I was God, the flood would have come around 1,000, but it didn't. So I can't explain that one to you. You just have to live with it. But it will be 2,000 years since the announcement of Christ. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Luke chapters 3 and 4. I've been through this with you. I talked about it at the Birmingham conference. Christ is baptized in the Jordan River. The voice of God comes down. All this happened in 28 AD. In 2028 AD, 11 years from now, it will be exactly 2,000 years from that time. And we have pretty much done a good job of keeping track of time since Christ. What I was wrestling with you yesterday, not really wrestling with you, I kind of breezed through it, kind of pleased with myself, was keeping track of the years from Adam to Christ. The 4,000 years from Adam to Christ. Knocked him down. We went through all that. And where I left off, well, I'll show you where I left off here yesterday. We were adding, we were looking at the number of years from the captivity of Zedekiah, the last king of Judah, to Babylon, and the time between that and the birth of Christ. And most scholars agreed, here's where I didn't like that, that it was 586 years that event happened, the Zedekiah taken captive to Babylon, Judah, the house of Judah taken captive to Babylon, 586 BC. It was a big event, so it's not hard. It's not hard to get that date right. It would be difficult to screw it up, I would think. Which brings us to 3973 years from Adam, which means Adam was created in 3973 BC. No, yeah, 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 that's right. 3973 from Adam. That's where, for some reason, we started, well, the birth of Christ, we started the whole BC AD thing. So, at the time of Christ's public ministry, then, it's 4,000 years from Adam, and it's 28 years from the birth of Christ, because he dies in 32, at the age of 33. Now see, now we're getting into minutia, and you know, you can tell I'm having trouble getting the pinpoint, but we're not looking for a pinpoint. We're not. We're looking for a season. We're looking for a time. Now, whoever's doing this web page at bki.net /6000 AAR.html. Whoever's doing this, also comes up with the year 2028 for the inauguration, the beginning of the kingdom of God on earth, the long prophesied kingdom of God on earth, which the preterists have given up on because they think God is done with Israel. Paul assures us in Romans 11 that God's not done with Israel. As you know, Senor Bader, F.H. Bader, also comes up with 2028. I think that Ernest Martin also comes up with 2028, and there was a mathematician by the name of Eduard Mahler, Austro-Hungarian dude, born September 28th, 1857. He was an astronomer, an orientalist, whatever that is, someone who likes Chinese food, I don't know, an orientalist, and a natural scientist. He graduated from the Vienna Public School in 1876, then studied mathematics and physics at the Universität Wien, I don't know where that is. He got a degree or two, and he was also a time guy. I'm using the technical term there. I hope you're not confused. Mahler has devoted it to, I'm reading this from Wikipedia. I mention Mahler because I saw his name somewhere mentioned, maybe in association with Bader, that Bader and Mahler agreed, because this Mahler was also a chronologist. He devoted himself to chronology. This says in Wikipedia, chiefly to chronology. In early life, he paid considerable attention to ancient Oriental history, Assyriology, the study of Assyria, that's exciting, and Egyptology. I got to admit, the Assyrians are fascinating, and so are the Egyptians. And if you want to really sink into the world of the Assyrians and the Egyptians, go to the Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York City. Unbelievable. It looks like the sarcophagi there, Egyptian sarcophagi, and the pottery, it looks like it was made last week. The colors is unbelievable. And the Assyrians have, it's just, when you see the name Abraham and what on stone, when you see the city of Ur etched on a stone, when you see the signature of Nebuchadnezzar written on a document, it gives you the chills and you realize that the Bible is real. Well, scripture is real anyway. So this guy went to the University of Budapest, and on September 6, 1889, he received the Royal Medal Lettres et Attributs. I hate foreign languages, all foreign languages. The only language I like is English. So I don't even pretend to pronounce this stuff right. And since 1898, he's been an official of the Hungarian National Museum. Anyway, the guy died in 1945. Don't try to email him. Anyway, he too has landed on the date, on the year, 2028. Now I'm going to show you sabbatical years. I'm going to go back to bki.net. I'm going to get a pointing instrument here. I'm going to turn my camera around. This is always risky business because I don't know what I'm looking at. Now, this is the creation week here. I'm hoping you're seeing this. I can't see what I'm doing. And we have the millennial Sabbath. This is the big picture from here to here. From here, creation week, to here, the end of the seventh millennium. Millennium 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I hope you're watching the laundry cam. If you're not, I am going from left to right on your radio dial. And we have 120 jubilees to the end of the 6,000 years. 120 jubilees. That's a jubilee is every 49 years. The 50th year is the jubilee year. So 120 times 50 is 6,000. And we also have 50 jubilees from the time of Christ. Here's Jesus Christ's baptism in the Jordan River, 28. This is when he goes into the Nazareth, goes into the synagogue there, and he announces, he reads the book from the book of Isaiah. It says that this is the acceptable year of the Lord, and probably a sabbatical year that year, because he announces the acceptable year of the Lord. He's going to free the captives. Everything that happened during the Jubilee, he announces that he's the epitome of it. He is the he's the answer to it. He's the personification of the Jubilee. And so it's a significant year. It's also at the same time he comes out of his out of the Jordan River, dries off, goes into the wilderness, and there he is tried by Satan. So many significant things happen in that year, and we're 2,000 years from that, or 50 Jubilee years. I'm going to go back to the chart, one would hope. One hopes I go back to the chart. So, sorry, don't get dizzy. Okay, here we go. Very primitive here, very primitive production here. So now we have the seventh millennium, and then we have the eighth day beginning here with the new heavens and the new earth. I don't know what this one half is here. I'm not sure about that. I'm not sure about that one half, but Jesus was baptized, and we have 3,000 years. We'll see the end of the millennial kingdom. We have one millennium from Christ, two millennium from Christ. Yeah, instead of people saying like one Mississippi, two Mississippi, I say one millennium, two millennium. Now you got the, it's not enough syllables, forget it. Okay, so here's the second millennium from Christ. Therefore, the kingdom begins here. The third day from the coming of Christ is the millennial stopping for the people of God. Then we have the eighth day, which is eight, the number of a new beginning. There were eight people on the Ark of Noah. Babies in Israel were to be circumcised on the eighth day. The number eight is great. It's also the number of Christ. 888 is Christ. 666 is man. 777 is a winning number in Vegas. Or it's on all the slot machines. So that's the creation week. Let me see if there's anything else I need to tell you about on this chart. Whoever's doing this chart, this is good too. I'm going to show you this after I see how much time I have. Okay, I'm at 17 minutes. I'm going to show you a little chart here on this webpage called God's Master Time Frame. This guy calls it the Everlasting Covenant. That's a mistake. Everlasting. It's the Aeonian Covenant. It's not the Everlasting Covenant. It's Aeonian. That is a really bad mistranslation, as you know. I hope you would know this. Judy knows this. All right, watch this. El Charte. The El Charte, we have three periods of 2 days leading up to the millennium. 2 days, i.e., using the Psalm 90 verse 4 key, that would be... Yeah. First millennium, second millennium, flood of Noah destroys earth due to sin. That's not perfect, though, right there. That right there, it doesn't fall exactly at the end of the second millennium, but it's close enough. Then we have two more days, third millennium and the fourth millennium coming to the coming of Jesus Christ. Then we have two more days, fifth millennium and the sixth millennium, which we're in now. The sixth millennium is a bitch. We're at the end of that one, and then we have the millennium here. Now, 6 days, either way you cut it here in the little increments, you have 6,000 years, exactly 6,000 years. So no matter what happens in between here and when, you have exactly 6,000 years. And it was exactly 4,000 years to the first advent, which is four watches of the night. That's why the phrase watches of the night came in. I'm convinced of that now. That the psalmist, David, not knowing what he was doing, saying, not knowing that he was, maybe knowing he was being dictated to by the Holy Spirit, but not knowing the import of it, not knowing the real meaning of what he was saying, that you and I would be talking about this in the year 5989. He writes that a thousand years is as a day and a watch in the night. And there are four watches to the night, so 4,000 years to the coming of Christ. Oh, yes, and that is corroborated, isn't it, by the Times of Daniel. That's what I left off yesterday, that even though I'm not really happy with an extra biblical source for time, that is 586 BC being the time of Zedekiah's captivity in Babylon, we have a check and balance. And the check and balance is the 483 years of Daniel's prophecy that begins with the decree from Babylon to rebuild Jerusalem by Artaxerxes, and ends with the coming of Governor Messiah. And you will find exactly 483 years between those two things. That's why some people in Israel knew that Christ had come, because they were careful with the prophecy. So I'm willing to throw out 586 BC, and I'm willing to go with Daniel's 483 years, that is 69 sevens of years from the decree to rebuild Jerusalem to the coming of Messiah governor who would be cut off. Now, what event that is, whether it's the birth of Christ, whether it's the coming of Christ into Jerusalem on so-called Palm Sunday, the so-called triumphant entry. Yeah, some triumphant entry. I'll show you a triumphant entry. It's when he comes back the second time. Or whether it's his public ministry again, the announcement of it at the Jordan River, or whether it's his death, I don't know, but it's the timing, it was, people would have known in Israel. People in the know would have known in Israel that the Messiah was here because of Daniel's prophecy given to him by none other than the celestial dignitary, the famous angel. That's what I like to call it, a famous angel. Some would say celestial dignitary. Huh, well, I guess you're special, aren't you? I say it's a famous angel. Gave it to Daniel, directly from the throne of God. God gave it to Gabriel. Gabriel gave it to Daniel. Daniel gave it to Israel. I'm giving it to you. All right. I got more to say, and don't worry, I'm going to say it. I promise I'm going to say it. Whatever I have to say, I'll say. If I come up with new things, I'll say it. But the important thing, I think, is this last Adam. This is huge. It's we who love the salvation of all, we love this whole thing with the first Adam and the last Adam. As in Adam, all are dying, thus also in Christ shall all be vivified. Yet every man and woman in his and her own order. And we have, as through one man, death reigns. Thus also through one man, justification and life reigns. Romans 5, 18 and 19. 1 Corinthians 15, 21, 22. We know that Christ corresponds to Adam. How appropriate that there's 4,000 years between the two. Christ is the answer. And he comes after a night of sin and death. A night, four watches, 4,000 years, according to Psalm 94. David didn't know what he was saying. I know what he was saying. And it is so perfect then, isn't it? Christ is the answer. And now really light has dawned. Light dawned at the coming of Christ. And now no one's in darkness anymore. God finished writing what he needed to write to humanity through the Apostle Paul. Colossians 1:25, Paul says, I complete the word of God. So now we're still in darkness. You could say, I don't want you to say this, but you could say it. And I myself might even say it. After all, I wanted to be struck by lightning yesterday, that we are in another 2 days of night. I refuse to look at it that way. Gross darkness covers the peoples, yes. However, I prefer to look at it as illumination has come. And we are no longer children, as I told you before, we're no longer children of the night. We're children of the day. And so we're living. Romans 6, we are living in newness of life. So I refuse to look at the subsequent 2 days since the coming of Christ, these long 2,000 years, I refuse to look at it as a time of darkness. I will look at it as a time of illumination to those who are called. Because whoever is destined beforehand, these also are called. And whoever are called, these he justifies. And so, realizing our justification, realizing that we're right before God, that God looks at us through Christ, he looks at Christ instead of our failures, and we're a new creation. Now we can have peace. We have peace now. The conciliation is built on justification. You can't have peace until you know you're right with God, until you know you can't screw it up. Now we have this peace toward God, and whom he justifies, these he glorifies also. You can find this in the book of Romans. I think it's chapter 10, might be chapter 8. Read the whole book of Romans. You will find it.